1 Peter chapter 3, look in verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the longsuffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. You can be seated tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. I pray that you'd come by and touch. Help the one that might be lost to be saved. Help the one that needs help. And touch us while we might preach. We're looking for you to do something that we cannot do. Looking for encouragement tonight. Your people are here and they need help. And we'll tell you again that we love you. We'll give you the glory for it tonight. And Lord, thank you for the songs that have been sung tonight, how they stir in our hearts. And I'm glad you hold tomorrow. What a great joy to know that. Help now in the preaching, for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Just in the few prior verses to what I read, you'll find that Peter is talking about our suffering, as a matter of fact, and that suffering as Christians. And we could talk about that and preach about that. We even discussed or talked about that a little bit this morning. But when we come to verse 18, he talks about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he suffered for our sins. I'm glad tonight that it was him that suffered for my sin. I'm glad it was him that went to Calvary and took my place and paid the sin debt so that I could be saved. And it said that he suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. He was the just and I was the unjust. It talks about right here that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. When Christ suffered for us and died for us, and as he was the just and we were the unjust, he made a way and that for me and you to get to heaven. I'm glad tonight that Romans 5 and 1 said, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our life done. It's all because of him. Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are where? In Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's all in him tonight. It said, for Christ hath once suffered. Hey, I like that tonight. He's one time suffered and one time only. He's only going to do it one time. That's why you only got to get saved one time. He suffered one time. We do not crucify him anew. We do not crucify him afresh. Friend, he was crucified one time and one time only and took my place yonder at Calvary. But he said that he was put to death in the flesh but then quickened by the Spirit. That's what makes our salvation so real tonight, because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it in. This commandment have I received to my Father. He laid down his life and took it up again in that of his own power. But then it talked about how that by which also he went and preached unto the spirits that were in prison. And there's a lot of argument about what that could be or who that could be. And I'll be honest with you, your preacher ain't 100% sure. But I do know this, that when Christ died at Calvary, I do know that the book of Ephesians tells me that he did descend into the innermost part of the earth. He went to paradise, and the Bible said that he led captivity captive. I believe he went and got those that were in Abraham's bosom, that we see in Luke chapter 16 where Lazarus was. Remember what he told the thief over there, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." You know, now we go to heaven. And paradise is in heaven, you know. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I believe that he went to paradise. But then it went on to say in verse 20, and I want to deal with some of these, with one thought out of here, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. Now pay attention right here. I'm not going to preach on this, but I want you to get this. Wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved. Kind of makes you wonder in today's time, how many is going to be saved? Wherein few. I want to look at that word right there in verse 20. When once the long suffering of God. If I could tonight for just a minute or two, I'd like to deal with that in preaching on the long suffering of God. I'm glad tonight that God is long suffering. My pastor used to say, long suffering means to suffer long. And that's about a good definition as anything else. We find right here that it said that God long suffering waited in the days of Noah. So what was so important about the days of Noah? Take your Bible and go over to the book of Genesis chapter 6. Well, look with me in Genesis chapter 6. And I mean, you ought to be happy tonight and excited that God is long-suffering. I mean, I'm glad tonight that he's long-suffering. In Genesis chapter 6, we find the story of not only of Noah, but we find the story of how wicked men really was. You see that God would not need long-suffering if men was not wicked. And so the first thing that we find about long suffering, number one, is the wickedness of man. Look in verse 5 in Genesis 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And you think God don't have feelings tonight? And the Bible said that God was grieved at his heart that he had created man. But what a horrible place that God must have been in, that he grieved of his heart that he had created man. And then the Bible said in verse 7, the Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And can I tell you tonight that I'm glad that we found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know why the Bible? Because if you look about Noah right here in verse 9, when it talks about the generations of Noah, it said Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah walked in a time with God when everybody else was wicked, when everybody else was vile, when everybody else's heart was on evil continually, and the depravity of their heart was so much that they didn't even retain God, just like Romans 1 said, in their knowledge. As a matter of fact, the Bible said in Romans 1, because that when they knew not God, or when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was dark, and professing themselves how to be wise, they became fools. Kind of sounds like today, don't it? Kind of sounds like today, the wickedness of man. They think that they're so wise, and they think that they know so much, but they're so depraved. I ain't watched it yet, but there was a little video out and that about a young lady that made an altar to her abortion. How wicked and vile do you have to be to do that? That's pretty wicked tonight. I mean, it's wicked enough to kill your baby, but then to make an altar to the very action of it tonight, that's pretty wicked.
And the Bible said right here that when they knew God, there was a time when those generations knew God, but they didn't glorify Him as God. That's where we failed at tonight. Folk have failed to glorify God as God. They have failed to see Him as who He is tonight. And then it went on to say, neither were they thankful. But then it says they became vain in their imagination and their foolish heart was darkened. See, it's a downward spiral tonight, ain't it? It says they knew God, but they didn't glorify God, so they didn't glorify Him, and neither were they thankful. So because they didn't glorify Him and they were not thankful, they became vain in their imagination and their foolish heart was darkened. So then they thought they were wise, but they were fools. One of the worst places you can ever be in, and that is in self-deception. To be deceived and not know that you're deceived. And that's where the world is tonight. That's where that wicked and vile world is tonight. The one that Jesus came and gave, who was the just and gave Himself for the unjust. That's where they're at tonight. They think everything's all right. There's a lot of people, they seem to think that men and women have some kind of inherited good about them. Do you know there is nothing inherent about us that is good tonight? I mean, the book of Romans tells us over there in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, it says that is written, there is none righteous, no one, there is none that understands, there is none that seeketh after God, there is none of us that are good. We're not looking to make good men better. We're looking to make bad men and that saved tonight. Amen. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. But the wickedness of man, and God's seen it. The Bible said that He's seen his depravity and that it was great in the earth and that the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. They never thought about God. Never come into their imagination. Never come into their heart. You know, the Lord talks about over in Mark chapter 7 that it's not the things that go in a man that defile him, but what comes out and what comes out of the heart. It talks about the evil heart over there, how that those murderers and sorceries and fornication and adultery and all those things that come out of the heart, that's what defiles them. Micah chapter 7. If I can find the book of Micah, I've got a new Bible. A new King James Bible. No, I shouldn't even said that, should I? Man, alive. I've got a new Thompson Chain Reference King James Bible up here. And my pages are going to stick together, I have no doubt. All my notes are in the other Bible. I tell you, it's a mess. If you go to the book of Micah, go over there with me right now. Micah chapter 7. See if I can find the book of Micah. I was beginning to wonder. I was talking to my dad the other day. He said he'd worked with a fella one time. Said he'd bought a new Bible. And part of it was missing. I was afraid Micah was going to be out of this Bible. But you know the shame of it is, there's a lot of people, they buy a full Bible. Well, they'll take a marker and they'll mark it out, won't they? Jens will get on to that here in just a second. Look in Micah chapter 7. Look in verse 1. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among them. They all lie and wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. That they may do evil. Now watch this right here. That they may do evil with both hands earnestly. I read that late this evening and I thought, boy, what a horrible statement to say that man wants to do wicked and they want to do evil. But I mean, he said they want to do it with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh and the judge asketh for a reward. They were corrupt, you see. And the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge.
The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh now shall be their perplexity. We see even in the book of Micah, as judgment is rained out, we see their problem was that they were just wicked. Men have been wicked down through the ages and down through the time. And you know what wickedness and evilness brings? It brings judgment, don't it? But the great thing about the Lord is the same as we see right here in the book of Genesis and what we've seen in the book of 1 Peter. It talks about the long suffering of God. So we find that in the days of Noah, yes, God decided in that to wipe out the face of the earth. And yes, God, because of their evilness and their wickedness, decided to come and judge them and wipe everything out that was on the face of the earth. But yet he had long suffering. So God seen their wickedness, but then number two, God waited on them. His long suffering. Why did God wait on them? Sin and evilness and wickedness was still going on. They hadn't changed their mind. They hadn't changed their heart. But why did God want to wait? I think we can find just a few things about the Lord tonight. Is that first of all, He delights in having mercy. We looked at that Wednesday night, that He loves to pardon iniquity. He delights to have mercy on people. And not only that, He was going to wait for the preacher and that to do His work. 2 Peter chapter 2, the Bible said, inspired not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah had a work to do. Not only did he have to build that ark, not only did he have to prepare that ark, but while he was preparing that ark, he was preaching a message and telling them to repent, get ready to get on that ark, because it's going to rain. And so God was long-suffering. 120 years Noah built. He had a hammer in his hand. He had a saw in his hand. He drove and painted. You know, he did paint that pitch black, you know. And that whole time that he was doing that, I have no doubt that he was warning folk and told them judgment was coming and told them the only way to escape is to get on this boat right here. What are we to be doing tonight, church? We're to be warning folk, ain't we? Paul said in Colossians 1:28, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ whom we preach, warning every man. We need to warn folk. We need to tell folk, hey, there is a judgment that's coming one day. There's not only a judgment coming to this world, but there's a judgment coming to you personally, that if you don't get saved out of your sin, hey, hellfire's coming, eternal lake of fire's coming, and you need to get saved. And the only way out is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only hope that they've got and that we've got tonight. He is the ark that Noah went and got on tonight. I know it was a physical boat, but beloved friend, I'm telling you tonight, Noah got on that ark, and when he got on that ark and shut the door, he was safe in that ark. It was the ark that bore up the judgment of God. What was the judgment of God? Judgment of God was the water. God flooded this whole world that we know tonight. And by the way, we think it's such a great big world. Do you realize tonight that we're just a tiny little speck in the midst of God's great vast universe tonight? And yet He cares for us. You remember me preaching that message, you know. But Noah got inside that ark and God shut the door. And that ark that was dark as midnight, because it was pitched on the inside and pitched on the outside. You know what pitch is, don't you? That's tar.
See, you see every picture, you see every picture of the ark, and it's just as brown can be. It wasn't brown. It was as black as midnight, friend. I bet that thing was something to look at. I bet it wasn't pretty at all. Right? Y'all catching on tonight? Take your Bible and go to the book of Isaiah chapter 53. And you'll understand what I'm talking about tonight. Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 1, who hath believed our report, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and we shall, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. The world didn't see nothing good in the Lord Jesus Christ. I bet when you looked at that ark that Noah built, it was built to the specification just like God said to build it, and it was pitched on the inside and pitched on the outside, and it was dark as dark could be, but I bet it wasn't pretty to look at. Nothing that's got that much tar on it is going to be that pretty to look at. And while Noah built that ark, you know what God was doing? He was waiting. And he was long-suffering and waiting. I want to show you something about God's long-suffering. Take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Peter tonight. Or what men does with God's long-suffering. 2 Peter chapter 3. And look, starting about verse 3. 2 Peter 3 and verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Can I ask you something tonight? When Noah built that ark, and he said, I'm building an ark. God said, build an ark. He's a preacher of righteousness. No doubt he told them to get on the ark. He's building this thing. We've got to get all the animals on the ark. I still don't know how all that happened. How he got two of each of the unclean and seven of the clean on that thing. Go read your Bible. I'd like to know how he got them all on there. I'd like to have seen that. I ain't going to say. I've got my ideas and my thoughts. You can just throw it out. How many of them do you think, as Noah was building that thing, that they said, Noah, I thought you said it was going to rain. I thought you said God was going to cause it to flood and destroy everything. But there ain't nothing happened like you said it's going to happen. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. He said it's not the same as it was. I really believe that's talking about Noah's flood right there. And something changed. But let me ask you something tonight. If men is so wicked, and by the way, what they'll do is during this time, they'll question whether God's for real. They'll question whether God's going to do what he said he would. Hey, the Bible said, Ecclesiastes 8 and 11, because the sentence of an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Because God does not react right away. Because God has long suffering and God has mercy and grace and God don't move right now, then men is set to do evil. They ain't going to heed and they ain't going to listen. They're willingly ignorant. But why does he wait? If you'll stay in 2 Peter and look in verse 9 of chapter 3, he said the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. What's he talking about right there? Well, he's talking about what we read. He's talking about the promise of his coming. I mean, that's what he's talking about. What are they saying? Where is the promise of His coming? So since the fathers fell asleep. And so He says down in verse 9 that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. But what is He? But His own suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know why God is long suffering? You know why? Because He don't want none to perish. He gives them opportunity after opportunity and after opportunity to hear the preaching, to hear the Word of God, to hear the cry of the Holy Spirit in their hearts saying, you need to come and get saved. Why does He wait? So that they'll come. Ain't you glad God was long-suffering with you? I'm glad God was long-suffering with me. I didn't even know that I needed to get saved until one night that He spoke to my heart. It's the way a lot of people are. They want to deny God, and God is still being long-suffering. He's got men building an ark, if you'll let me say that, that's crying out and saying, you need to get on board the ark. That's crying out that says, heaven is sweet. That's crying out that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. It's crying out that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of the heritage, of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. You know why God is long-suffering? Because He would rather show mercy as to show judgment. A lot of people have God as only judgment, but He delights in mercy. But then somebody or some people only has God as mercy. And that's not true either. He is mercy, but He's not only mercy. Because see, number four, when it comes to the end here, when His long suffering runs out, and it will. You go back to Genesis chapter 3 and what happened. Or Genesis chapter 7, excuse me. I don't know how we got in Genesis 3. You go back to Genesis 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. The Bible said in verse 16, and they went in. And they that went in male and female of the flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. Look in verse 21. Well, 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping thing and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. God was long-suffering for 120 years. Had one man who preached one message: repent and get on the ark. Get right with God. Get on the ark. John the Baptist come preaching, I repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We preach repent, Jesus saves.
And get ready to go.
I think people of every generation has been the same. Some ridiculed, some doubted, and some didn't care. And some probably didn't even pay attention to what Noah had to say. It ain't never rained before. They ain't no God in heaven. They ain't no God ever come before. Things are the same way that they've always been. So what's going to happen? When God decides that His long suffering has been enough, He'll come and get us. He'll come and get us. The tribulation will end set. He'll be done with that. The second return of the Lord, the return of the Lord Jesus, second coming, and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ will happen. There'll be judgment. And for those that are lost, they'll be cast into an eternal lake of fire. But right now, God's long suffering is here. Now you may be saved tonight. So what are we doing with God's long suffering? What are we doing with it? We need to do something with it. If you're not saved, you need to come and get saved. Enjoy God's mercy and His long suffering. But if you are saved, then we need to be warning people and telling people. Well, they're going to think we're crazy. I'll guarantee you they thought Noah was crazy too. But let me ask you something, church. You say, well, they ain't nobody going to care. No, they may not. They may not care. I can't make people care. You can't make people care. But it ain't our job to make them care. It's our job to tell the story. It's our job to tell them, hey, He's coming again. You better get ready to meet Him. You're going to die one day. How are you going to face Him? And boy, He died for you. Let's bow our heads tonight.